Let us pray. God, we come to you today, and we ask that you would speak to us. May we have ears to hear. May our hearts be open to what it is you have to say to us. May we have the faith to follow you. God, if there is anything that is in the way today, maybe we're thinking of things that we have to get done today or later this week, God, may we put those aside for a moment to hear from you so that we may be transformed into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we gather this first Sunday of the new year, we have a very interesting passage, a very interesting event that happened in the life of Jesus, where Jesus was baptized. Now, as we see in this passage of Scripture, we find John the Baptist in the wilderness baptizing people, telling them to flee from the judgment to come and baptizing them for the repentance of sin. And people began to wonder, is John the one who was prophesied about? Is John the one who is the coming Messiah? And John was quick to shut down those questions, those ideas. And he pointed out, as we just heard, as he said, I baptize you with water, but there is one who is coming that is greater than I, who will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. And so as we see in the Scripture, people continue to come to John to be baptized, and Jesus comes to John to be baptized. And this passage of Scripture in Luke doesn't go into a lot of details about that event, but as we think about Jesus coming to be baptized by John, I think it brings this question to our minds. Why? Why would Jesus have John baptize him? Think about it. If John's baptism was primarily about fleeing the judgment to come, the repentance of sin, why would Jesus choose to have John baptize him? Because Jesus was the one who was coming that was greater than John, the one that would not only baptize with water, but with the Spirit and with fire. So why would Jesus have John baptize him? Well, I want to share with you today several reasons of why I think, when we look at the Scriptures, why Jesus would do this. And the first is to identify with us and with our world. By Jesus presenting himself for baptism, he's showing that he was not just born into this world, but that he was born for it, that he was born with it. That when we look at the world and we look at Jesus' baptism, we see Jesus realizing that this world is broken, that this world is hurting, that this world is desperately in need of renewal. This world is desperately in need of redemption. And Jesus was not born into the world to just sit on the sideline and watch the destruction or watch the brokenness, nor was he born into this world to do what many of the religious leaders at that time were doing, where, you know, they wore extra large prayer boxes and they wore extra long tassels on their robes to be recognized. And then they sat and they pointed, they judged and ridiculed others, pointed out others' faults and flaws. But we see through Jesus' baptism that he came to engage a broken and a hurting world, a world that desperately needed new life and hope. We find Jesus reaching out to the sinner, who many others, if there was someone who was looked at as a sinner, they would stay away. They didn't want to be associated with them. They didn't want to be close to them. Yet Jesus continually drew near to those people. He even became known as a friend of sinners. And so we see through Jesus's baptism, he is connecting, he is identifying, reaching out to a hurting world. Secondly, we see through Jesus's baptism that he is relying on a power beyond himself. Through Jesus's baptism, we not only see him reach out to a hurting world, but we see him reach up. We see him reach up to God the Father. We see him relying on the Holy Spirit. We see that Jesus' ministry would not take place on his own power, on his own abilities alone. We would see throughout his ministry that he would rely on the Spirit. He would call out to the Father. He would seek strength, and he would seek vision to follow God's will, even in the face of great difficulties, in the face of sorrows, in the face of suffering and pain. This idea of relying on a power beyond himself also wasn't just something that Jesus did this one time, just this one time at his baptism. But relying on a power beyond himself was something that he did throughout his ministry. Jesus' first disciples would see this in his life. They would see the importance of prayer, the need for the Spirit to give Jesus strength and patience. Jesus would show the disciples how they needed to call out to God so they could receive this power to have the faithfulness to love. The disciples would see in Jesus that just as Jesus needed the Spirit in his life to live out his calling, the disciples saw that they needed the Spirit as well, that if they were going to be all that God had called them to be and made them to be. So we find Jesus reaching out to a hurting world. We find Jesus relying on a power beyond himself. And through Jesus's baptism, we see him finding his identity as God's son. At Jesus's baptism, we find him being claimed as God's son. We hear the Father saying about Jesus, "This is my son. In him, I am well pleased." And this powerful affirmation, "This is my son, it is in him that I am well pleased," is something that would stay with Jesus, that would sustain him throughout his ministry. These words, "You are my son, it is in you I am well pleased," would continue to affirm Jesus' calling, purpose, as the Messiah. It would spur him on as he began his ministry to the world, with the world, and for the world. So if we think about these things, and these are just three of the reasons as I look through the scriptures of why we can see John would submit him, why Jesus would submit himself to John's baptism, to identify with us and our world, to rely on a power beyond himself, to identify as God's son. What do these things have to say to us? For us today, for us being the church, that we are the baptized, what do these things say to us? Well, it brings three questions to my mind that I want us to think about today, that I want us to reflect on. And the first is this: will we walk with the broken? Just as Jesus' baptism led him to connect to those around him who were castaways, forsaken, pushed to the side, that he became a friend of sinners. A question for us is, will we be willing to do the same? Are we willing to get our hands and our feet dirty, to go out into the world and welcome those around us who are struggling, who are looking for life, who are looking for hope? Are we willing to go to them and love them as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Or will the church only be a Sunday thing? Will church only be for the successful, the well-to-do, the respectable, the people who seem to have everything put together? Or will the church exist for the world? Will we, as the church, exist for the world in the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of all the brokenness? Secondly, I want us to think about this when we think about Jesus' baptism, that he relied on a power beyond himself. A question for us to think about is, will we depend on the Holy Spirit? Just as Jesus relied on the Father, called out and trusted in the Holy Spirit, are we not only willing to go into the world to be God's people, but are we willing to trust in the Holy Spirit to do so? Because this connection, just as Jesus showed his early disciples, this connection that we have with God is crucial. It is the lifeline of every disciple, of every congregation, of every ministry. That if we are going to be who God has made us to be, if we are going to be the kind of people that God desires us to be, we have to be connected to God. Yes, on our own strength, power, abilities, resources, sure we can do great things. I mean, we can look out into our world and see many incredible people who are doing things that aren't connected to the body of Christ. But my friends, I'm telling you this, that if we rely on God, if we stay connected with God, that God can do more in us and through us than we could ever imagine or fathom. And so my last question for us to think about today is this. Where will we find our identity? Do we rest in our own abilities, our own strengths or achievements, or do we rest in our identity as being children of God? In our baptism, we hear that God loves us before we were ever born, that before we ever thought of reaching out to God, that God was already reaching out to us, that God says to us, you are my child, you are dearly loved. Are we finding our identity as being children of God? Because it's through our baptism that we find that identity. We find our name. We find that claim as being a child of God. And so many times we face this temptation to find our identity in other places. Our work, our achievements, our skills, our successes, who we know, what we've accomplished. But then also when we face hard times and struggles and failures, sometimes we find our identities in those and we think, no one could care about me. No one could love me. You know, I'm worthless. Yet, when we find our identity in Christ, it's not about our abilities, our achievements, our resources, our strengths, and it's not about our failures, our struggles, But when we find our identity in Christ, it stands strong. We can remain in that truth, in that claim that we are a child of God. But this claim of being a child of God, why it is, it's so important for our lives. It's not just for us. That we must go into the world. And when we go into the world, we see so many people looking for hope, looking for answers, looking for love. So many people desperately need to hear this proclamation from God that you are my child and you are dearly loved. These words that Jesus heard, it impacted Jesus's whole ministry. He held on to that. We see him deeply connected to the Father, listening to the Spirit guide him in his life so that he could do the will of the Father. It impacted his life because he found his identity as being God's son. And when we hold on to this identity of being a child of God, it will impact our lives forever. But not only that, when we take this message of hope, of life, and we go into the world and we share it with our children, our families, our coworkers, our classmates, our congregation, and as Jesus promised, even our enemies, it's transforming. It's transforming to realize that you have been created and you are dearly loved by God. So my friends, through our baptism, may we go out these doors this day and be in ministry, not just in the world, but for the world and with the world. May we go not on our own strength and abilities, but may we go by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may we go proclaiming the beautiful and the marvelous love of God. Amen.